Back here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday, Dale and Keith and Andy Hart, joined as we always are. Well, not always, but a lot of the times. Patriots defensive back Daron Harmon. Hello, Daron. How are you?
Doing good, sir.
I'm doing okay, thanks. We asked this earlier of James White, and I'm curious to get your take on this. When you have some calls that are going against you, and you think that some of these calls haven't gotten you, you know, what you were looking for, how do you then get your attention back on the task at hand? You know, get your head back on straight. Okay, that's passed. We can't do anything about it. We got a play we got to make here.
What it really comes down to is, I mean, you have to focus, like you said, on the task at hand. And at the end of the day, I mean, those calls are what they were. You can't do anything about it. Only thing you can do is just try to find ways to move forward, be better, and that's what we're going to do. I mean, we got a good opportunity this week going against the Bengals to go and get back in the win column. I mean, you know, we say it all the time, you know, real football season starts after Thanksgiving. It hasn't gone the way that we have hoped for and, you know, planned for it to go. But, I mean, we still have a lot of football left ahead of us, and we have to make sure that we're, you know, headed in the right direction and worrying about what we can control and what we can't.
On the Watkins Gilmore play that sort of spilled out of bounds and they went down, what did you see on that? What was your thoughts?
Well, you know, two competitors going at it. I think they had a lot of, you know, history together. They played together with Buffalo. They always talked about how they love competing against each other, and that's all it was. Two guys competing, trying to get after it. You know, both of them playing in a atmosphere that you can't create anywhere else. I mean, they're just fierce competitors going at it, and you know, I just wanted to do my job, get Steph out of there. Obviously, yeah. We're all, you know, all in their sideline. Get him out of there and make sure he's good, and just, you know, get back to, you know, playing good football.
It did seem a little, not that you guys haven't had kind of chippy games this season, but It seemed like a little bit more. Is that maybe because you guys are familiar? You had the AFC title game last year, and just knowing that it's two of the best teams in the conference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot goes into it. I think. You know, obviously the AFC Championship game, they felt like they could have won that game. And, you know, they felt like they needed to come in here and make a statement and get a win. And, I mean, we felt the same way. I mean, we felt like it was a must-win for us. Obviously, we fell short, and they were victorious. But at the end of the day, it was just two great teams going at it. I mean, it was a great atmosphere last night. And just a little sad, obviously, that we, you know, we fell short and couldn't get the win.
We all screw up. We know that. Mm-hmm. I have typos in my stories all the time. There's nice people on Twitter that like to point it out. You miss tackles, refs miss plays, right?
Yeah.
But I talked to you about this last night. Is it more an issue in terms of the Gilmore-Kelce play that you're taught one thing all along? They're going to let the play out, and then the rubber meets the road, the game's on the line, it's a big game, and for some reason the whistle blew. Is that more frustrating?
Yeah, like you said, it's frustrating because obviously we're told certain things at the beginning of the year. Of how the game is going to be officiated, and then when it's officiated another way, I mean, it's just, you know, it's frustrating. But I said it last night. I mean, you just said it. We all make mistakes,
right.
And their job is very, very difficult. I mean, they have to make calls at the drop of a dime, instincts, and, you know, just seeing. They can't use, you know, just the video board that we use.
Right.
They're not allowed to look up at that. So, I mean, it's frustrating. But we just got to find ways to not put ourselves in situations like that. I mean, we can help ourselves by not starting, you know, down 23-7. Like, we're a better team than that. We know that. And that's what we need to focus on rather than, you know, the calls that we wish we had and that didn't go our way.
It was almost a tale of two halves defensively for your team. First half, as you said, they kind of sprinted out to a lead, and you didn't look like you had many answers.
Yeah.
What did you guys do so differently in the second half?
We just was a little better fundamentally sound. I think we didn't really change any calls. We had some good disguise packages going that really helped us in to get back and get back on track and passing situations third down that, you know, really, you know, had Mahomes hold on to the ball a little bit more and give our pass rush some more time to get there. In the first half, I mean, it was a couple big plays that we gave up, and we know, I mean, that's how they score points, big plays. I mean, they have elite receivers and how fast they are. They're being able to get the ball in their hands and run after they make a catch. Like, we know that. So we just had to do a better job of being better on the big plays, obviously, and just making it harder for them. And when we did that, I mean, the second half, we got rolling and we put ourselves in a position to be able to win the football game.
Does your technique or does anything change going up against a team that's so fast? Because you're used to playing fast guys every week, but this is sort of next level fast.
Sure.
So do you go into it thinking, all right, I got to change my approach? Like, maybe normally I would come flying in, but with these guys, they can make you miss and then they're gone.
Without a doubt, you have to. I think that goes with, you know, the idea of game planning and just being able to, you know, knowing who you're playing against. I mean, certain receivers are, you know, have good speed. Some have really good speed, and then some have elite speed. And they had three guys who had elite speed. So, obviously, you know, from a man-to-man standpoint, from the corners, I mean, their technique has to, you know, change a little bit. And as a deep safety as myself, it has to change too, because I know at any moment they can just, you know, come flying up on me. And you want to make sure that you're always over top and, you know, keeping everything in front of you.
Is there ever a case where you lose too much aggressiveness, though? And I'm wondering about the Hardman play. It's like you kind of got a little flat-footed, and then all of a sudden, he's gone.
Yeah. Well, I would say, well, like you said, I mean, that play how can I put it? I mean, something was going on in that play. Obviously, you're not trying to give away, you know, what we're doing as a defense. But, you know, that play, you go up on him, you know, I buzz my feet, and, I mean, he's a fast receiver. I mean, I could have did a better job of just trying to leverage him to, you know, obviously to the sideline. But, you know, coming from the middle of the field, you're coming up high, then you're coming down. And at that point, he has a two-way to go. And, I mean, he's a, you know, 4-3 receiver.
Right, he took
And I'm not going to lie, I'm not 4-3 at all. I know my limitations. But like I said, I mean, there's always things that you feel that you could do better. And I felt like maybe, you know, I should have tried to, you know, just try to force him, like take a hard angle inside to try to force him outside. I mean, but, I mean, you live, you learn. That's a play that I'll learn from, a play that I'll work on to make sure that if I'm ever in that position again, I'll do a better job of just leveraging them and try to, you know, run them out to the sideline.
Rich mentioned how competitive it was last night, and it got a little nasty at times. Mm. Was there more chirping than normal? It seemed like there was a lot of chirping going on out there.
It was some chirping. But I mean, in all reality, I think in games like that, that's what it's going to be.
There was some post game chirping. You got some Chiefs guys saying, "Oh, I want to play them again."
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, if it happens, I mean, I would love that the opportunity to play them again. I mean, they're a really good football team, obviously one of the better teams in the AFC. We know that. So it was a little chippy out there.
Who's the best talker on defense? Because I know for a few years it was Malcolm Butler. Everybody said talker. Butler was great at talking. Who do you got now?
The best talker? I would say KB does a lot of talking for us. We'll leave it to him. Sometimes you got to kind of bring him back in and say, "Hey, all right, let's focus on the game." But I mean, he's a competitor. I mean, he's a guy that's gonna go out there, give us, you know, great effort each and every day, and gonna make plays for us, and he's gonna say a little bit why he's doing it as well.
Is Gilmore? I know you don't play against him, but if I were a competitor, he would rub me the wrong way because he talks trash, it seems like, but it's a whisper.
Yeah.
And that would bother me. I'd rather you yell at me when you're talking. Wait, did you just say I suck, but you whispered it? Like, that would frustrate the hell out of me.
He's
sneaky.
Exactly. People don't realize how competitive Steph is. And when he gets out there, like off the field, like you said, he's quiet. He doesn't say much. I mean, he's a great guy. We love having him around and being around him. But when he steps in that line, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, we do, like, you know, one-on-ones with, like, the DBs on Fridays. Like, and he's trying to, like, you know, like, get open, locking people down. And I'm just like, Steph, you know, this is, like, we're warming up right now, right? Like, you can slow down a little bit. But, I mean, that's the type of guy he is. I mean, as soon as he steps in between that line, it's one thing. And he says each and every day, man, I can't allow my man to catch the ball. Like, the team is counting on me to be this type of player, and we are counting on him to be that type of player. He's a big part of what we do defensively, and he's a guy that I love having on my team and very appreciative of his efforts each and every day as a Patriot.
Is Travis Kelce as tough a tight end matchup as there is in the league right now?
Without a doubt. I mean, his quickness, his savviness, being able to catch the ball. And
big as a house.
Exactly. When he gets the ball, he's able to, you know, make yards after the catch. I mean, he's, you know, a complete tight end, and He had some good catches, but it was a lot of back and forth with, you know, our safeties on him and Dev and Pat. I think they did a tremendous job yesterday covering him because, I mean, he's probably the best tight end in the game.
Halftime, there was the crowd was booing. Now, it might have been more directed at the offense or the decision to sort of take the foot off the gas, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But still, not something you guys are used to hearing. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's our fans. I mean, they love us. I mean,
do you hear
it? Yeah, you hear it. I mean, and they expect a lot from us, and that's rightfully so. I mean, we know what we're capable of. They know what we're capable of, and they pay a lot of money to come see us play, and it's up to us to continue to try to put on a great effort and a great show every time we go out there, and we try to get it together in the second half. We play better in the second half, made it a competitive game, and just fell a little short. We appreciate the love because, I mean, they can boo us bad any day. Nobody else can talk bad about us.
Right.
So we'll take it.
You guys have played three great games now over the last year with the Chiefs, and each game has had huge swings in terms of first half, second half. They're putting up points. They're not putting up points. Mm. Is this as good a coaching matchup maybe as we – I mean, it seems like Andy Reid formations finds a way. Bill adjusts, Steve and Gerard adjust. Mm. Is that game within the game in this matchup more
without a doubt. I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, it's obviously, you know, you got great players on both sides of the ball. I mean, Chiefs, their roster up and down, great players. We have a lot of great players on our team as well. And then you take in the fact, like you said, the coaches. I mean, we have the best coach who has ever coached a game, and Andy Reid is one of the best, you know, play callers who have ever played a game. And obviously Steve and Gerard, you know, being – new to this, but you know it's a chess match. It's we know that they're going to make adjustments. They know we're going to make adjustments. It's about who can make the adjustments faster, who can get comfortable faster, and who can make the plays to win the game.
James got a little salty when I asked him about Wisconsin football this past weekend. He didn't want to talk about it. Has Rutgers got the coaching thing finally right? Do you think?
I believe so. I mean, Greg Schiano is a big part. And a big reason why I am the player I am today. He put me on the path to, you know, trying to learn how to become a professional football player, teach me how to study, teaching me how to practice the right way, preparing off the field as much as I prepare on the field. And obviously when I got here, I felt like I was a step ahead of the curve. Obviously I still had a lot to learn being a rookie and being a professional, but he helped position me to be a little ahead of the curve. So when I got here, I kind of knew what was going on, but I was able to obviously grasp on to some veterans like Devin, Gerard Mayo, Matt Slater, to learn how to be the professional football player I am today.
Did you put your money where your mouth is? Did you send them like $1 million and say, I want
I mean, I'm waiting on Dev. I mean, Devin, J. Matt, they got the big money. They got the bucks. And I mean, they can always split in half. They're twins. So we'll leave it on them.
Reopens the feeder system to back to New England.
Yeah, that's
been a few years that's
19 more Rutgers guys in here.
Starting my draft prep now, all Rutgers. Just start looking at everybody.
Yeah, there we go.